Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW, share number 110. Ba'ez Pnimi, share for women, share number 110. So in the book, Shalva Ba'Mitzrayach, Peace in Your Palace, and though we talked about the concept of Yazav Ish Es Aviv Es Imay, to leave your parents and recognize that your new home is a new aspect with your own personalities building the home, but that doesn't take away the fact that one needs to cherish one's parents and honor them. Honor them in a way that, of course, won't conflict with the marriage, but honor them in a way that will enhance the marriage. In retrospect, it could be that, you know, a newly married Kala may believed that in her parents' home she wasn't properly understood or appreciated. But what we need to remember is that parents are messengers. Hashem used them as vehicles to bestow conditions to us. Sometimes it's favorable and pleasant. Sometimes there's certain agmas nefesh that came with it. It could sometimes be complicated. But the idea being, though, is to, when you go out of your parents' house, you look back with the proper healthy perspective. If something was toxic, you learn not to carry on chas v'shalom that pattern of being toxic. The good things, you take the good things. So here's an example that she brings, a realistic example, that Hindi always felt deprived. Her parents' meager earnings prevented her from enjoying the lavish lifestyle of her friends. And after she married and she became a mother to a large family, she thanked her parents. Her own income was inadequate relative to her family size, but the standard of living that she was accustomed to as a child prepared her for this eventuality. Which means, basically, in this particular case, her parents, during growing up, lived, they were not able to afford various things. It was painful. Her friends were, and they were deprived to a certain extent in her view, in the way she felt. But later in life, in the early years of her marriage, when they were financially struggling, as the family was growing, that awareness came in. The understanding, I lived like this for many years growing up, I could manage, and she adapted to it, and she learned to appreciate that her parents did not provide her those things because they didn't care about her, didn't love her, but because they were struggling financially. Shem sometimes creates those situations, and there's a greater understanding of that. And so therefore, when you leave your parents' home, so though we said Yazavish, as of the Sima, Yazav here is not to be taken literally like an abandonment. You still give them kavod, you give them attention, you call them, you ask them how they're doing, and so on and so forth. And some parents feel pained and heartbroken when their married child becomes a stranger to them. So it's important we need to work on not becoming strangers and to keep in touch with them, realize they'll miss you. Of course, we're not talking about interference issues, that's a separate subject, but Kolzman, there's no aspect of interference that's unhealthy, but it's just a simple acknowledging, giving kavod, and connecting and relating. It's so important to keep that bond with one's parents going. They're the ones who, together with Hashem, created you. That's how Hashem views it. Gimel Shutfim Ba'adam is what Hashem said. They're my partners. Your parents are my partners in you. Your parents molded you into the caring person, hopefully, that your husband married, and that role needs to be cherished. It's very important to recognize this and to acknowledge this. Another thing to be aware of, he brings down about protecting the walls of the house. It's brought down in the Gemara Tainis that the beams of a person's house will testify against them. The stones and the beams cry out that it's stolen. It's a pasuk Habakkuk, Perek, Beis, pasuk Yud Aleph. The walls observe all the sights and sounds, all the words and actions of the ones who live there. And they're like a tape recorder. You know, we wouldn't be able to relate to it, but now that we have tape recorders and video and things like that, we could understand, although we can't see it physically, how an inanimate subject object like a wall could testify, but it'll testify. Sometimes a godly Yisrael could enter a room and they sense the presence of a tzaddik who occupied that room many years previously. You have stories like that. Because the walls itself absorb the holiness. And in a negative way, it's a negative way too. There's stories about that too, that they bring down in this book. It's interesting, you know, that this idea, I remember once I saw from, not in a sefer, but from a more modern person that brought out this Dvar Torah in Parshas Balak and said basically, went through the lesson of the donkey that talked to Bilam and challenged him after it saw the Malach and hurt his foot, then he hit him and they had a conversation. And what's the lesson of all this? And one yesod that he said that I found was profound is to think, again, in those days there were farms and you lived with animals all the time. You dealt with them all the time. You had horses and mules and donkeys. So it was very, very common to people to own donkeys or sheep or whatever. And the Musa Haskell is, what would your animal say about you if it could speak? Big Musa Haskell. The way you treat it, the way you treat other people, it's observing. You may think it's an animal. It can't think. It's brainless. It's an animal. What would it say if it could speak about you and about your behavior? And in the Chazal, it does say something like that pertaining to inanimate objects. What would they say? What would you all say? Some tzaddikim wanted their coffin to be built from the wood of the shtender that they used for learning all those years. Some wanted the wood come from the table where they ate during their lifetime if they ate their meals, l'shem shamayim. They wanted that. Some people were chayze b'tshuva when they walked through the streets of Meir She'arim and smelled the Shabbos foods that made them aware of something higher. So you see that aspect. So the idea is to recognize Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid in your home. Then the next chapter, chapter 4 of this book, talks about cornerstones, yesaidais in life. The yesaidais in life because everything needs a foundation. The first foundation number one in this chapter called Cornerstones, which is the foundations, is to be realistic. Everyone needs to live in their personal reality. It's okay to dream and have yearnings and high expectations of things, but one needs to be realistic and not fool themselves. Recognize that life has hardships sometimes. A mountain climber has to plan for those hardships, knowing it'll encounter boulders and sharper edges and sheer walls of rocks, and he needs the tools and the physical ability and whatever expenses needed for him to survive such a climb. Married life also is like that. Life in general is like that. It's a climb. Or the way he puts it here is a rose garden. Are roses always blooming? No, there's certain tkufas where you see it bloom. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But it comes with pesky weeds. It comes with sharp thorns. But eventually it opens up and it's a beautiful sight to behold. That's what life is about. It has its high moments. It has its low moments. And realistically, it's normal to expect difficulties. So this is the idea that understanding that you'll have sometimes rough moments. You'll have tougher times. You'll have happier moments to go by. You work through things, but this realistic expectation will save you from a lot of akmas nefesh. I still have tremendous hakaras hatayv to Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who discussed a lot of those realistic aspects of marriage. At first, you know, you feel a little bit, you know, especially if you're an idealistic bacher and you're thinking in the skies, like, you know, it's going to be like a Gan Eden down here and everything. And then they talk in those realistic terms, you feel somewhat like a little disappointed that they sort of paint that more practical picture, but it's still a beautiful picture and it's a true picture. Victor Miller, the same thing. Him, you know, in the beginning, I remember going to his shmuzen, not just his famous one. His famous one was tape number 620, which was the Ten Commandments of Marriage, I think it was called. I think it was tape number 620. And then he had something called the Unwritten Ksuba, and then a second volume, Unwritten Ksuba. But in a lot of those tapes, and a lot of those shiurim on marriage, Rabbi Victor Miller played down the romantic aspects of the marriage. Now, maybe he went a little too far, you're going to say, you know, because there should be some idealistic warmth that's there to look forward to, of course. And I believe he believed that too, of course. But at first, I was like sort of disillusion when I heard him speak for the first time, bringing it so into the practical and the mundane and the problems that come about, and like everyone has their smelly laundry and all that, you know. He was very, very blunt about these things. And in the beginning, you know, I was like a little disturbed by it, you know, as a bacher aspiring to marriage. But I realized later, by the way, after getting married, and that you had the idealism, and then regular practical challenges in life occur, in life, in married life, it helped a tremendous amount. This realization of the realities of being two human beings trying to live together, that is not always constantly, you know, romantic or high or pleasant. It could be bumps in the road. And that helped tremendously. You know, him saying, for example, I remember, it's like two pieces of sandpaper rubbing against each other. It's not pleasant, but it'll smooth things out ultimately. It'll smooth your character. Now, when you're listening to this, you say, hey, wait a minute. You know, is that what it's all about, just to refine your character with sandpaper? I have to look at marriage as sandpaper. But you know something? Not to say that you shouldn't look at the beautiful, wonderful aspects of marriage. And again, Rav Igdal Miller did stress that too, about how when you live in harmony and it is a Gan Eden and Hashem is with you and it's a beauty. He did go through that, but he expressed a lot of this sandpaper type of aspects too. And it was healthy and it was good. And very often a lot of marriage problems early on happen because of unrealistic expectations. You sort of have to wake up and be aware of just normal realities. And then when you work through those normal realities, you come out on the other side in really strong and positive, and it indeed is a beautiful thing. The foundation number two, they call here, again, this is Rebbetzin Simon, adopted by Mrs. Fried, carry on. Carry on means no matter what, no matter how bad you argued, big or small, don't disrupt the daily routine. Husband still goes to work every day, goes to Seder, doesn't go on strike because he got a big fight with his wife. Wife, same things. She does her meals, her washing, cleaning, whatever she does normally. You know, I'm not talking about that when you're not feeling well, different exceptions, but I mean, you just don't want to do it because you're mad at your husband, or a husband doesn't want to do his stuff because he's mad at his wife. You know, I'm not going to, let's say he's the one who takes out the cash and gives it to his wife. You know, whatever it is. I'm not giving it to her this week. Or, you know, let her get it herself this week. No, you don't change a routine. You don't change any normal, healthy routine in marriage, no matter how much you're fighting. That includes not going, you know, the being upset and changing the mikvah. I'm not going to the mikvah type of thing, or whatever it is. Those type of things. No, just as sun rises and sets every day, husband continues with his obligations. His wife continues with her obligations, both as the obligations of a wife to a husband and a husband to a wife. They keep it. They keep it strong, no matter how upset they are inside, no matter how bad they're feeling. They just don't say, I'm not showing up. If they have an agreement, for example, that every Monday and Thursday, whatever it is, when his wife is at work and she works till 5, that he's supposed to pick her up, and that was the agreement, and they got into a very bad fight that morning, whatever it is, he cannot say, I'm on strike, I'm not picking her up, she'll take a taxi, too bad. Chas v'shalom. Same thing, vice versa. You know, we have an arrangement, and I'm feeling okay, and everything's fine, and we arrange that we're having this for supper, or I'm arranging supper, whatever it is, and it's expected, it's a normal thing, you didn't communicate. I'm mad at him, nothing doing. You know, those type of things, those punitive things. No, you don't do that. You keep day in and day out and day in and day out to keep those routines makaimcha al tanech. That is the loyalty. That is the loyalty that is needed. That is the idea, and that is godless, by the way. You think you're not doing anything. You know, it would be nicer if you wouldn't be in a bad mood in the first place. It would be nicer if you're able to overcome your bad midos in the first place. But no, even if you're feeling crummy, you're feeling bad, you're feeling upset, you're angry, whatever it is, which you have to work on, you don't change the routine of normal marriage, of everything that a husband does to take care of his wife. He continues to take care of her, even if he's very upset at her, even if it's rightfully so. Same thing with a wife. She continues her normal things that she would do for him, even if you got into a bad fight, and even if he's 100% wrong, that has to be dealt with. But the regular routine of life continues on, because when that storm passes and that continuation of loyalty took place, that will keep you going on and on. The bad patch will go by, the storm will pass, and you'll be fine. And that loyalty and those acts will remain forever. While if you stop it and go on strike and start changing your behaviors in negative ways, then it'll be much harder to patch it after you want to get fix it up, but you already broke routines. It's harder. Therefore, keep it that foundation strong and remain loyal to one another. Bracha v'atzlacha.